Hear now the words of our Lord on this Christmas day. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgressions of the wicked. There's no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that's not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They've been cast down and are not able to rise. And then we fast forward in time to Luke chapter 2. We read this in Luke chapter 2 at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And again, our scripture text will be one verse from that psalm we read, Psalm 36:9. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his gospel today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would be with us today as we look at a very familiar historical event, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. And in this historical event, we see the eternal significance from a place and from a perspective that perhaps is not as familiar to us. But help us, O Lord, then to understand anew, with fresh eyes and fresh heart, the old story of Jesus and his love. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, congregation, the last page of the bulletin is blank today intentionally so that you can jot down a few notes if you would like during the message. The title of the message is there in your bulletin, "Light in the Dark Night." And brothers and sisters in Christ, what would it have been like to be there on that silent night so long ago? We often wonder. Many people have imagined all sorts of things. Songs and carols have been written. Drawings have been fashioned according to people's imaginations. And yet the Bible does not tell us all the facts that we might want to know, but it does tell us all of the facts that we need to know about that night. Along with the fact of the birth of sweet baby Jesus in a miracle way to the Virgin Mary, we're told that the world was not ready for Jesus' arrival. We're told that, in fact, they were dead set against a Messiah, anything like the Jesus who did come. As one pastor recently put it in his meditation on Christmas, true religion was like a single flickering candle set outside against a dark, howling night. And sometimes, as Christians, we feel like that single flickering candle set in the midst of a world full of ideas and philosophies and power and strength that's dark and howling, and nobody pays attention or even sees the little tiny flicker of our light. But the gospel truth of Christmas, the theme of our passage that I want to see today, is this: that when Jesus entered the world, He was a light entering the dark night. I'll repeat that. When Jesus entered the world, He was a light entering the dark night. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "For with you," speaking to God, the Christian says, "for with you is the fountain of life." It's in your light that we see light. A beautiful verse. Very short, but the more you read it, the more you meditate on it. It's amazing. So we're just going to pick that verse apart in light of all of Scripture, and especially the events of Christmas. The first thing we're going to see is this statement that your light, Jesus is the light, your light. And then secondly, we'll see the dark night into which He came. And lastly, we'll see that though we have your light and is come into the dark night, yet still we see light. We see light. So let's first look at your light. Jesus is that light who entered the dark night. Psalm 36 declares that it's the Lord who is the fountain of our life and the source of light. Throughout Scripture, as it progresses, this theme becomes more and more brilliant as we trace it. We know the Lord's our light because in the beginning, God created. And He said, "Let there be light." If He would not have said that, there would not be light. He is the source of light itself. So no wonder that we can say with the psalmist, "In your light." He created it. Throughout Scripture, we see a little later that God was the light of Israel as they're wandering around after they were miraculously redeemed from Egypt and they're in the wilderness. How will they know where to go? God sends a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night to guide them by that light that God provides. The Israelites sang and worshipped God about this glorious comfort that the Lord is your light. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 119 speaks about the word of the Lord being a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It is the Lord who is our light. Centuries later, the people of God learned that one day God Himself would shine very brightly into this world of darkness. He promised in Isaiah 9, verse 2. We looked at that just this past Lord's Day. Just a few verses before the verse we've probably seen on Christmas cards, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Just a couple of sentences before that is found this verse: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, it's upon those people that the light has shined. Which light? The light that comes when the child is born. Christmas brings that light into that dark night. 700 years later, after Isaiah prophesied that, it happened on Christmas. And the New Testament records that that very promise came true in Jesus' ministry. Boys and girls, many of the details about the Christmas story include this idea and truth of light. Do you remember any of them? About the light that shines in a dark night? One of the examples you might come to your mind, perhaps not, is that relative of Jesus. There were two women miraculously going to have a baby who was going to have miraculous mission in life. Not just Jesus, but his relative, who was born just a little bit earlier, John the Baptist. And when both of the Jesus and John's mothers were pregnant, they visited with each other for a while. Well, after John the Baptist was born, his father Zacharias prophesied that John would be that last prophet to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And when the Messiah would come, Jesus, and when he grew up, he would be, we read in Luke 1, 79, the one who gives light to those who sit in darkness. In the very next chapter of Luke 2, we read today of Jesus' birth, the light entering into the world. The shepherds, remember boys and girls, another detail of this light in the dark night. The shepherds were out there in their fields watching their flock. Of course they did it during the daytime too. But when this happened, it says they were watching their flocks by night. And then what happened? An angel shows up, and it doesn't say light, but it says his glory shone. And what shines? How would you know of something shining unless it's suddenly brighter than it was before it shone? There was some light that came along with the angel's glory there. The light that shone. A little bit later, a bright star leads wise men from the east to come and find Jesus. He is the light that enters into this dark night of this world. But light is not just a part of the Christmas story. Throughout Jesus' life and ministry as he grows, the theme of Jesus being the light and bringing light into this world shows up. God says, this is important for it to show up again and again. He wants us to know this, that the entrance of Jesus is an entrance of light. Jesus said in John 9, verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as he's around, that's the light of the world. John 8, verse 12 is where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But Jesus is not done being the light once he's done with his life and he dies and comes back to life, of course, in Easter. But then he goes away to heaven and he's not here on earth now. He's not done, though, being the light. He's our light even for eternity. Heaven is described in the book of Revelation, in this way, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in all the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Stars bring light, don't they? The book of Revelation goes on to say, the city that we will live in heaven has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. We know Jesus is the Lamb. He is the light. Another verse in Revelation says, there'll be no night there. There's no need for lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and we shall reign forever and ever. So it's very plain to us all, isn't it, that Jesus, the light of the world, is the one we are praying to when we say, Lord, it's in your light that we can see in this world. Very basic to the Christian gospel is that fact that it's Jesus who's my light. I'm not the source of light and strength and wisdom. That doctor over there is not the source of strength and light and wisdom. That teacher over there, that university, that degree, that job, that salary is not the source of light and strength and wisdom. Jesus is my light. This is good news. It's the gospel because we need light. The very fact that Jesus is your light angers so many people, so many of our neighbors in this world. They want Santa Claus to come to town, but not Jesus. They want to talk about football and food and movies, but not the Lord of life, the one who's the meat and drink of our souls unto life eternal, not the one who can really give us a thrilling adventure and excitement now and for eternity. They want to talk about Him. And so we see the second part of this theme of our passage today, where Jesus is the light and He comes to us who are living in the dark night. Second thing is the dark night. Why do we need this brightness? Because we have darkness already. It's how we can recognize how bright and light He is. We really have what you might call the pitch black dark night of the soul because of our sin. I remember years ago on a vacation, we went on a tour of a cave. And you go hundreds and hundreds. I am glad I don't know exactly how deep. I don't remember how deep we were in the earth, but it was a long ways down. And there was only one way to get out, and that was to go forward through the dark, tight spaces of the cave on the tour. And the tour guide thought that it would be a good thing for everyone who was on the tour to experience what it would have been like if we were real spelunkers and cave explorers and turn all the little hazard and emergency lights off for only, I don't know, 10 seconds or something like that. Felt like 10 years. And when you turned those lights off, you could, and I did, put your hand right in front of your face, and you had absolutely no knowledge that it was just right there, half an inch away. There was no variation in the darkness and the shadows at all. It was so dark. And that's an illustration of the darkness of this world into which Jesus came as the light, the dark night. And that wasn't new for that Christmas night in Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem. For the world had been living in the darkness of total depravity of the sinful heart for thousands of years, ever since Adam and Eve sinned. And in Psalm 36, that darkness of heart, the darkness of boys and girls and men and women of all ages, was described very well in the first part of that psalm. Before we get to verse 9 that says, "Oh Lord, You're the fountain of life, it's in Your light we see light," it says, let me tell you something about the sins of the wicked. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They sit up at night in their bed and plan out the next day's sins. They get caught for something and they find excuses and twist it around to make it, "You're the one who's to blame for pointing out my mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Look at what you did." And on the psalm goes to describe the darkness and the blindness of the sinful heart. The Christmas light came into that world. The Christmas light that Jesus is, the Christmas light that Jesus brings, ran into darkness right away when we read and think about all the Christmas story. The world wasn't ready for Him. Somehow Joseph's family didn't have room for Him, even if his immediate family it all passed away, his distant cousins and second cousins and so on. Somehow they didn't care about their family connections and there was no room for them, even in the end. When King Herod found out a child had been born, he hunted Jesus down to murder Him. That's darkness. When Jesus was presented to the Lord at the temple, a remarkable prophecy was made by an old Christian there named Simeon. In Luke 2 at verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He's a sign which will be spoken against. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. See, Jesus at the very beginning ran into darkness. It would not be an easy life for this child in the manger. Even though he was the light of the world, Emmanuel, the world continued to misunderstand his mission. They sought him out only for his miracles and his wonders, not because they loved him and worshipped him and believed in him as the Christ. As John chapter 1 describes, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. What's this mean? Jesus was in the world, John 1 goes on to say. Jesus was in the world that was made through him didn't even know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. Imagine going home for Christmas and getting the door slammed in your face. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. John 3 verse 20 says, everyone practicing evil hates the light. They don't come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. Why do they want to be reminded that the way they've chosen to live is evil and wrong? Until they forget or pretend as if the light isn't on. And they look for darkness. They look for shadows and corners. One familiar example of this darkness of the world into which the Christmas child's light shined is when Jesus was on trial before Pontius Pilate. Would Pontius Pilate let Jesus go? Would Pontius Pilate submit to Jesus, in the words of our text, who is the fountain of life? Would Pontius Pilate say, oh, it's in you, in your light, that I can see light and make sense of my job here as governor of Judea? We read in John 18, verse 37, Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus answers, you say rightly that I am a king. For this reason I was born. And for this reason I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And you remember Pilate's answer? So right there, Jesus has demonstrated and declared, I'm the light. I came into the world to bring light, to show the light of what's true. And does he say, oh yes, that's right. That's who you are. No, Pilate's answer is, what is truth? What is truth? I've never heard of that. I can't even fathom the idea of truth. I'm a judge. I make decisions of what's right and wrong. I don't know what truth is, though. The darkness of Pilate's heart continued, even when he was standing in front of the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world. And yet you and I, who've never run with the shepherds to the little town of Bethlehem to see Jesus, you and I who have never followed the star with the wise men, you and I who have never been in the temple like Simeon to see Jesus and Joseph and Mary come in, we've never walked with Jesus like the 12 apostles did, yet the Bible still says we have seen Jesus' light. And that's a miracle too. Because without the Lord's light, we would be in darkness. But John chapter 1 says in verse 12, as many as received the Lord in faith, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen his glory, his light. Because he has given us life. What is God's response to this darkness of the world into which Jesus came? Well, for starters, remember, God knew what Jesus would enter. God knew the condition and the darkness of the world already. He's not surprised by this evil response to the newborn king. He chose to send his only begotten Son into such a dark world as this. And God knows that you and I are so lost in our sin, so stubborn that we'd never ask for Christ to come. Santa Claus, sure. But we'd never ask for really what Christmas is about. That's not what we would believe or want. unless God opens our heart first. Unless we're born not of our own free will ideas or imaginations, but if we're born of the will of God, then we will know His light and His grace. And so we have the Lord's light come in the dark night, and then lastly, even though we are and have been a part of that dark night, now we still see light. We see light, the third point. You see, the Christmas connects the dots for us. It is in Your light, O Lord, that we see light. We put the whole sentence together from Psalm 36. You and I can only see light when we're seeing it in Your light, in keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. But every time we are looking to the Lord and His light and His Word, we absolutely will see light. There's no doubt about it. There's no darkness when you're looking at Jesus. Christ Himself is our light. Unlike the Christmas lights that many of us have no doubt wrestled with over the past couple of weeks. Jesus doesn't need to be changed or replaced or untangled. He doesn't need to be put on a timer to turn Him on and off at our convenience. And in a few weeks or days, He won't be stuffed into the attic with all the decorations for 11 months until we drag Him out again. Jesus is the light, the eternal light, all year long. And it is in His light that we see light. His light, His plan and purpose is so much bigger than December 25. Isaiah 49, verse 6 tells us it's too small a thing that Jesus should be God's servant just to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. He's also going to give Him as a light to the Gentiles so that He should be God's salvation to the very ends of the earth. Jesus shines brightly and broadly and widely for all to see. And so we can be thankful, and we are thankful today as Christians, because Christmas is about this gospel message of Jesus shining into the darkness of a soul that's lost and blind, like those who are deep in the darkest cave of the earth and the lights are out. We're blinded to the fact of how to get out, how to go forward without hitting our head. How do I find our way out? We're so blinded that we actually think we're okay down there. We think we're basically good. We're on the right track when we're actually totally depraved and on the highway, not to heaven, but the highway to hell. Until God opens our hearts and rescues us with His sovereign power and grace. If you want to have this Christmas light today, the good news is the light exists. And He's shining Himself into your heart and mind today. And He says all you need to do is suck it up and submit to the fact that you're a sinner, that you are full of darkness. I am full of darkness. And we have to trust that Jesus really had to come to pay for my sin and darkness. When you believe that He paid it all and all to Him you owe, then you'll have light. As John 12, verse 36 says, while you have light, believe in the light, so that you become sons of light. We see light when we are seeing Jesus' light. In Your light, we see light, says our text. God really keeps His promise today to overcome your sin and mine, our fears, our doubts, our discouragements, our spiritual blindness. He proves He is light. Remember all the things we talked about in the first part of our message. He proves He is light. Those all can be summarized in another verse I didn't say. John 1, verse 9. Jesus was the true light who gives light to every man coming into this world. You know, we might not always think of it this way, but God's in the business of shining light. It's you might say it's His specialty. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, God created the whole universe, a world of darkness, creating it, speaking it, let there be light. And that same God now has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, here's what you are as a Christian, as a member of Christ's church. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, so that You can proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. And where? Into more darkness? No, but it says into His marvelous light. Think of some of those examples in the Christmas story of where our sermon passage came true. In your light we see light. That old Christian man named Simeon in the temple, who had prophesied that there would be darkness in the world, people would reject Jesus. He also knew Psalm 36, verse 9, was true for the believer. In your light, we see light. Simeon was meditating on the light of God's Word. He didn't know how long he would have to wait until the Messiah came. So he prayed, he read God's Word, so that when things happened in this world, he could interpret them through God's light. This little couple comes in with a young kid, young baby. He knows how to interpret that. He waited patiently and in faith. And when Jesus came, we read in Luke 2, verse 30, Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Psalm 36, verse 9, come true. There's another example in the Christmas story of Psalm 36, verse 9, coming true. The shepherds on that very first Christmas, we read of this, they saw the very dim light. It was really dim. All this angel came, the glory shone around them, they were greatly terrified, but it was a very dim light. Yeah, the heavenly hosts shouting out these glorious things and the armies of God in heaven, but it was actually very dim because they went from there to the little dingy manger and saw the light of the world. Not just a light out on a hill by some sheep. And from there, we read, they went and back to their jobs and their families and their community, and they praised and glorified God for all that they had heard and seen, knowing that in the light of the Lord, they've seen light. They understand. They know what just happened, and they can't help but tell others about it. Psalm 36:9 came true at Christmas long ago. It comes true still today, on this Christmas, in the heart of us when we have faith in Jesus. Where's the darkness in your life and mine? Where's the blackness of your guilt? The shame that you're carrying? Where's the blackness of the bitterness that you harbor against someone because of the way they've treated you? Where's the darkness of your loneliness, of your despair? Where's the darkness of how you are this close to giving up? Right now, you're at the end of your rope. That's true for some of us, perhaps. All I know is that the darkness that you face, the troubles that you and I endure living in a world full of people who reject Jesus, just like the very first Christmas, full of people who attack us whenever we're faithful to God, and they try to get us to compromise whenever they see a vulnerability or weakness in our life. All of this has been dealt with already. It's been exposed by the bright light of the world. Jesus has shown His glory and His majesty. His light is so bright that all we have left to focus on is not the dirt and the dust in the corners, but the brilliance of His truth and His light and the direction He's guiding us. Because the Bible says it's in His light that we see light. We don't look upon our sins and dwell upon them in the dirt. But when the light comes, it's in His light that we see light. Light. We're looking to the light of the world and dwelling on that silent night, holy night, Son of God. Love's pure light. Radiant beams from Thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at Thy birth. Jesus, Lord at Thy birth. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we love and worship You with all of our hearts today. We
are so in the dark without you. But in your light, we are so in the light. And we see the light. We understand our place in this world. We understand our role, our value in your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to show us more of yourself and more of your love and peace and wisdom and truth. Help us to be an encouragement to those around us who also live in darkness apart from you, the light of the world. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.